message today, and it's on the freedom to choose. And when we love someone, we're free to choose to love them. So we're going to talk about love and the freedom to choose love. And our deacon of the week is Brother Charles. He's going to come and read from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. So if you would, please stand for the reading of God's word. Give him your full attention. And when he's done reading, he will pray a prayer of invocation.
Good morning. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question: "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important: love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." May God bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, you are most holy, sovereign, and your love for us is overwhelming. Father, we ask your presence of your Holy Spirit this morning to move in among us. Take your message so that we may receive your truth. We ask you to hide Chris behind the cross. Let your spirit speak through him to us, for our ears to hear and us to learn and receive. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord and hallelujah.
Thank you, Deacon. All right, so we're going to look at freedom to make choices today. And we make choices all day long, every day. So you guys chose to come to church this morning. Many people chose to stay away from church this morning. Some people choose to find a church that makes them feel better about being in their sin. Some people choose to follow the Word of God and want to be closer to God and understand what godly living is. Now, here at Tall Pines Baptist Church, as the pastor, I choose to honor God through everything that I do. Now, I also want to let you know that next week we're going to deviate from the book of Acts. We're going to have a guest preacher here. I'm going to be here next week, but there are young men that are seeking to preach the Word of God, and I believe that as a church and as a pastor, it is my duty to help bring these young men up and bring them along. So we will have a guest preacher here next week. And many of you know him, but I'm going to let it be a surprise to you. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. So I hope you choose to come to church next week. Some of you choose to come to Sunday school. Some of you choose to serve in the church. We have choices all day, every day. Some days, most people will choose to spend their time immersed in electronic entertainment, staring at their phone or a tablet or a computer all day, where other people will choose to pursue an actual personal relationship with other people. The art of conversation is lost. Everybody wants to text now. No one wants to make phone calls. No one wants to visit. As I said earlier, we're having an open house so people will have an opportunity to come into Tall Pines. Because when we go out on visitation, when we go out knocking on doors, nobody invites us into their home. That is something, I don't know why we got away from it. I don't know if it was COVID or if people are just becoming more secluded. There's a theory that because of social media and electronic devices, people have become so introverted that they don't want to engage with other live people. And I know that as I look out and preach every Sunday, there are some people that spend their entire Sunday in church doing this because they're scanning their phone. They're not paying attention to what's going on around them. And when I talk to them, they say, "Oh, I got my Bible on my phone." Well, that's okay. I'm going to quote the Bible. You pay attention to me while I'm preaching. That way you don't have to look down. You can look it up. Look up. Choices in life. Some people choose to eat healthy. Some of us choose to go another route. All right, but understand that we make choices every day that will either benefit us in the long run or will be a detriment to us in the long run. If we make bad choices, bad things happen. Biblical living. I've shared this with many people who claim to be atheists. If you'll just look at the Bible, read the Bible, understand how God wants us to live our lives, you will live a better life because the Bible will instruct you on making better choices. We choose to have integrity. We choose to have a good character. I taught a class yesterday, and it was a class on leadership, and we talked about a man of integrity, a man of good character. And the truth is, I can stand up here and tell you the truth until I die. And if you never catch me in a lie, you will say, that's a man of integrity. That's a man of good character. That's a man that speaks the truth. But all I have to do is lie to you one time. One time. And I will forever be known as a liar. And I tried to teach my children that growing up. You have to choose to tell a lie. You have to choose to tell the truth. And you get wisdom as you get older. And you learn that telling the truth is better, but I believe many of us do it because our memories get so bad we can't remember the lie we told, so we can't keep it up. But if you tell the truth, you don't have to start remembering what truth you told. You just tell the truth over and over again. So we make choices constantly, and sometimes we make good ones, sometimes we make bad ones. Sometimes we forget to turn the iPad on when we want to change the screen. Let's see if it'll open for me now. There we go. So, number one, if you got to fill in the blank sheet, I want you to understand that when we choose to follow Christ, we must choose to love. So, in order to be a Christian, you must choose to love. You have to choose it. That's what we read in Matthew 22. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God and love other people. That's the two things that are the greatest. All of the law is summed up in those two sentences. Love God, love people. Guys, it can really be that simple. But you understand when you love people, you have to understand what love means. Doesn't mean you have a warm, fuzzy feeling towards other people. It means you go out of your way to make sure they're comfortable. You go out of your way to make sure they're taken care of. And so, in order to be a follower of Christ, we must choose to love others. And we see in the book of Luke 6:46, so you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say. Jesus said, love. If you don't love someone, call you. But that don't make you a Christian any more than it makes you a car or a can. To be told apart from others. So understand too that the world has a different idea of love today. Are you bringing me batteries? I just put new batteries in it this morning. Okay.
Just do the mission.
Yeah. Like I told y'all, when things go sideways, you know who to blame. All right, hopefully that'll be better. It won't be cutting out anymore. But the world will tell you that love means you have to accept people for whatever they want to be. If someone claims to be a kitty cat, you have to love them enough to tell them they're a kitty cat, when the truth is you need to love them enough to help them seek some mental help. You know, when someone is confused about their gender, guys, that's not a body problem. That is a mind problem. And that needs to be solved with the mind. Understanding that if you are a believer in God and Jesus Christ, you find your identity in God. In the very first book of the Bible, God gives us our identity. We are made in the image of God. God does not make mistakes. When He formed you in your mother's womb, He intended for you to be who you are. A doctor does not assign your gender at birth. God assigns your gender when you're conceived. And so we must help people through love to understand that confusion is not of God. Scripture says that God is not the author of confusion. And Beth, we're going to have to set this thing up so it quits shutting off on me every few seconds. And Siri, I don't want to talk to you. I want to open my iPad. All right. So, this is what happens when we have new electronics and new technology. I will mess it up, but that's okay. We'll move on. And the book of John, 13:35, Jesus says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." If you don't love the church, you're not going to love being in heaven. If you don't love God, you're not going to love being in heaven. So we must choose to love one another. We must choose to love the church. We must choose to serve God through the local church. And so when we choose to do other things, that goes against the will of God, because God's word tells us that we must devote and dedicate our lives to serving Him if we are truly believers in Jesus Christ. Number two on your fill in the blank sheet, I want you to see that God chose to love you. He wasn't forced to. No one made God love you. No one made Jesus go to the cross. He did that of His own free will and own free choice. And so God gives us the free will to love Him back. A lot of people will say things like, "Why would God send people He created to hell?" Well, God doesn't send anybody to hell. You are already headed that way because you were born with a sin nature. God just gave you the ticket to get out of hell through the blood of Jesus Christ. But there again, that's a choice that we make. We either choose to follow Christ or we choose to reject Him. So God chooses us. And in the book of Psalm 86:15, it says, "But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in faith, love, and truth." So we are so blessed that God is a God of love, but God is also a God of wrath. A lot of pastors will not preach wrath from the pulpit. They don't want to turn people away or turn people off of the message. But the message is true. God loves us so much that He did everything that needed to be done for us to have salvation. All we have to do is choose to believe in Jesus Christ and put our faith in Him. But if we choose not to, then our destination is a place separated from God for eternity, and that place is called hell. And that's where we go when we choose to reject God. So we go to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13. Paul writes, "We ought to thank God always for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God has chosen you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth." So our salvation from God is simply choosing to believe in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You do not have to accept Jesus Christ as the Savior, because Jesus is the Savior. You just have to believe in Him and put your faith in Him, what He did on the cross of Calvary. And what He did on the cross of Calvary proves number three on your fill in the blank sheet, that Jesus chose to prove His love for us. Jesus proves His love. In Matthew 20:28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." Jesus' death on the cross was the price paid for your sins. But that gift is only good if you choose to open it, if you choose to accept it, and choose to put your faith in Him. So the work has already been done. You don't have to do any work to be saved. All the work was when you sinned, and that caused you to be separated from God. Jesus did all of the heavy lifting. He did all of the work so that you could have salvation, but you have to choose it. In John 14:21, Jesus says, "The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will also love him and will reveal myself to him." something that's been unpopular, and I've been warned by other pastors not to say this from the pulpit, but I want to go ahead and say it. And you've heard me say it before if you've listened to me preach. We have a saying, hate the sin, love the sinner, right? We all know that, and that is commanded to us as God's creation, as the church. We are to love the sinner and hate the sin. But God is God, and you're not him, so God freely does what he chooses to do, and Scripture tells us that those who reject God and live in willful sin, God hates. So God is a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. He's a God who will not force people to worship him. The same way that I can't force you to come to church. I can call you and tell you I miss you when you're not here. I can call and invite you to come to church in different functions, but I can't make you come to church. If you're married, you freely chose, I hope, to love your spouse. You don't stay together for 43 years because you hate somebody. Now, choosing to love someone means that you love them even when they're difficult. You love them even when they do hateful things to you. You love them even when situations don't demand it, because Jesus commands us to love one another. When we make a vow to come to Christ and we accept the free gift of salvation, we enter into a covenant with God and with Jesus Christ. And that covenant is God says, I will give you salvation in return for your faith in Jesus. But with that comes a little bit of legwork that we have to do. Once we're saved, we must vow to love God, the same way that we take marriage vows when we marry our spouse. And we vow to love our spouse in sickness, in health, in good times, in bad, for richer, for poorer. We go through all that. Well, why don't we love the church the same way? Why do we put conditions on the pastor and on the church whether or not we're going to come and we're going to serve? The minute I get my feelings hurt, I'm going to leave and I ain't coming back. You know, the minute the preacher preaches about my sin, I'm done with that place. The minute they ask me to work for VBS, I'm going to tell them, no, I ain't got time for that mess. They want me to come to Sunday school. They shouldn't have it so early in the morning. When the truth is, when we make a vow to God, we do it for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. I stubbed my big toe last night. I ain't going to church today. I worked all week. I ain't going to church today. Guys, we can come up with excuses all day long. But do we really love God enough to love him when things turn south, when things go bad? When things aren't ideal, do we take every opportunity to make an excuse to stay away from the church, understanding that the church isn't just a building that we meet in? The church is the body of believers that comes together to worship, to praise God, to learn and grow, and to encourage one another. See, it takes courage to be a Christian. It's easy to be a non-believer. It's easy to reject Christ. It's easy to stay away from church. It's easy to reject God. It's easy to twist the words of God into something you want it to say. What's hard is living by the Word of God, understanding that we are imperfect. It's going to hurt our feelings, and it's going to force us to do things that we may not want to do. When you're married, and your wife asks you to do something, do you look at her and say, no, I'm not doing that? No. You want your wife to be happy, don't you? So when she asks you to do something, you do it. Women. Now, this has gotten me in trouble before. And I've preached on Ephesians chapter 5. And it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Christ died for the church, guys. He got beaten to a pulp. He was unrecognizable as a human being, and he hung on the cross of Calvary for the church. Are you willing to die for your wife? So women, it says, obey your husbands. Are you willing to obey your husband? Or do you put conditions on it? I said, women obey your husbands. And Siri said, sorry, I can't do that. She did. Yeah, then went from preaching to meddling. All right, well, this thing's not going to cooperate with me, so I'm going to have to work on that part of the technology. So we'll go on with what I've got. If you got to fill in the blank sheet, all the scriptures are listed there, and you'll be able to follow along as I finish this up. We're going into the number four on your fill in the blank sheet. And number four on your fill in the blank sheet is you must choose your eternity. You must choose it. There's no way you can get around it, no way you can get out of it. You choose your eternity. You choose whether or not you're going to have faith in God. You're going to choose whether or not you put faith in Jesus Christ. You're going to choose whether or not you're going to obey the Word of God. Because Jesus says, not the preacher, don't hear what I'm not saying up here. The Bible says, in order for you to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, and to have salvation, you have to do what Jesus commands us to do. You can't get away from that. You can't get around it. There is no easy beliefism in God's Word. How much easier life would be if Scripture said, understand that Jesus died for you and you're saved for eternity. Now go live your life and have a great time. Doesn't say that. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? And then we have the dangerous side of it. When we start doing stuff to appear to be a Christian, we go to church, we go to Sunday school, we put money in the plate, we feed the poor, we go out looking out for our neighbors, we try to show these outward things of love and obedience, but we really don't know Christ. We really don't understand God. We don't put our faith in Jesus. We put our faith in the things that we do for Jesus. We put our faith in the church. We put our faith in the preacher instead of putting our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary. And we go around our whole lives doing all this great stuff for Jesus only to hear, depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. That's because in your heart you kept sin in there instead of getting rid of it. Talked a little bit this morning before Sunday school with someone about repentance. We misunderstand repentance. Repentance isn't preached on enough. In order to be saved, you have to put faith in Jesus Christ. You have to admit your sins to God. And then you have to repent of sin. That doesn't mean you say, oh God, I said a cuss word, so I'm not going to cuss anymore. Now you shouldn't cuss. Scripture tells us not to. I cheated on my spouse. God, I repent. I'm not going to do that anymore. What repentance means is you understand that sin is bad and you agree with God that you should not sin again for the rest of your life. You agree with God that sin is bad. And you agree to live a life that is pleasing and blameless before God. But we have to choose to do that. Do you know every time you sin, you choose to sin? You can't say the devil made me do it. You can't say, well, all my friends did it, so I followed them. Like my mama used to say, if all your friends jumped off the Empire State Building, would you? If all your friends are doing something, doesn't mean that you should be doing it. You should live for the Lord, even though it's going to cost you, even though people are going to look down on you, even though people are going to talk bad about you. And young people, I'm so glad I grew up in an era where there wasn't all of these TikTok influencers and Facebook and all this social media going on. Why do you think they call people that put that stuff out there influencers? If you put content on the internet and people watch it, you are termed an influencer. Did y'all know that? Yeah, you're an influencer, aren't you? I've seen your TikToks. And it's okay, it's nothing bad. But my question to everybody that puts content, and I'm right there too, I put videos out there and I put content on the internet, And I hope I'm an influencer. As a pastor, I hope I'm a big influencer. And I don't mean weight. I mean in the content that I put out. But what influence are you having? When you put something online, what influence are you having on other people? Are you putting a positive influence? Are you lifting the name of Jesus? Are you talking about your faith? Are you trying to convince your friends that salvation is necessary? There's nothing wrong with social media in and of itself. How much time you spend on it can be a detriment to your life. But it's there. It ain't going anywhere. It ain't going away. Satan's had his hands on it long enough. It's time the church grabbed a hold of it. Why do you think that we're streaming on Facebook? Why do you think we have a YouTube channel? Why do you think we have a website? Why do you think I put clips on TikTok and Reels? Because people are looking at that stuff. They're watching it. And I want to be a positive influence on them. Because I choose to follow Jesus Christ. And I was told that I am not to sit at home with my salvation and keep it to myself. I am to go out into the world and share it with everybody. And you're commanded to do the same thing. So if you're on social media, what kind of influencer are you? What kind of influence are you having on your family? What kind of influence are you having on your friends, your coworkers? What kind of influence are you having when you go out to the restaurant and eat? I've been told by waiters and waitresses they hate the Sunday after church crowd. Why? Y'all are so demanding and you don't tip. That's what I've been told. So when you go out to eat, and your food isn't right, do you blame the waitress or the waiter? If the menu prices are too high, do you fuss at the waitress or the waiter? It's not their fault. What kind of influence are you having when you walk into that restaurant with your tie and your nice clothes on, and they say, oh, that person's been to church today. I don't want that table. Or do they look and say, oh, here comes that pastor and his wife. Make sure you get their table. He tips well. Because I do. I want them to recognize. And I tell you something else that I do every time I sit down. When that waiter or waitress comes to the table, before they take my order or shortly after, I say, we're getting ready to pray for our meal. What can we pray for you for? And you know what? They'll tell you. I had a woman at Olive Garden pull up a seat and sit down and start crying and telling me about all the problems she was having in her personal life. People want that connection. People need God. People are looking for that. And if they're not getting it from you, they're not going to get it. You need to be that positive influence. But you have to choose to do it. In choosing your eternity, I quote Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. And Joshua is talking to the Israelites. Moses has died. Joshua is left in charge. And he tells the people, if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today which will you worship. And I'm going to tell you, I love each and every one of you. I look forward to seeing y'all on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I love talking to each and every one of you. But if you don't want to worship the Lord, stay home. If you're not here to lift up, edify, and encourage other people, stay home. If you're looking for me to soothe your ego and to make you feel good about the sin that you're in, go somewhere else. But if you choose to worship the Lord, come on in. Be a part of what's going on here. And he goes on to say, which will you worship? The gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living? Do you acclimate to the culture around you? Young people, when you go to school, do you become just like them so you fit in? Or do you look a little bit different? When you go to work, do you hang around the water cooler so you can gossip and tell dirty jokes? Or do you find yourself alone most of the time? Do you acclimate to the culture around you? When you come to church Sunday morning, do you act like a good Christian? And then when you're away from the church, you act like the rest of the world? He says, as for me and my family, and I've told you all this before, and I've made this proclamation, it's a sign that hangs up in my house every time I walk through my front door. I am faced with Joshua 24:15. As for me and my family, not just me by myself, if you're living under my roof, you're going to church. If you come to stay at my house, you're going to church. If you're hanging out with me and it's time to go to church, you're either going to have to go home or you're coming to church. Because as for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. We choose to be a house that worships the Lord. Now, we're also a house that's full of imperfect people. So, yeah, we yell at each other every once in a while. Yeah, we do things to get on each other's nerves. Yes, I pick on my children more than I ought to. Sometimes my children talk back to me because they're not perfect kids. But you know what? At the end of the day, we love each other. We worship God. We pray together. We read Scripture together. And we choose to serve God through a local church. I spend more time at this church and on the Naval Weapons Station than I do in my own house. And I choose to do that. When I go to the hospital to visit those who are sick and dying, I choose to do it. Nobody forces me to do that. When I spend hours every week putting a message together, I choose to do that because I choose to honor God with my life. You see, God calls all people to repentance. All people. And He is patient. Praise God, He's patient. When I was in my 20s, I gave Him every excuse to take me out of this world, and He didn't. He kept me alive for such a time as this, to quote Esther. Because God knew that one day I was going to submit to Him and give in to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And do my best to do His will, even though I fail Him daily. One of the most comforting things I've ever heard was when God called me to preach, He figured in my stupidity when He did it. And I'm so thankful that He did. But you can be used of God too. You just have to be willing to choose to serve Him. 2 Peter 3:9. Peter says, the Lord does not delay His promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. As I said earlier, God does not send sinners to hell. They're already headed there. God just gives us the get out of hell free card. It's called Jesus Christ. Romans 5:18. Says, so then as through one trespass, there is condemnation for everyone. How sad would it be if that verse ended right there? Because Adam sinned and brought sin into the world, then mankind is sinful. I don't make up the rules, I just follow them. I don't write the mail, I just deliver it. But because Adam sinned, we are all born into sin. There comes an age of accountability that we have to decide to recognize our sinful nature, to recognize the truth of God's existence, to recognize the truth of our soul living for eternity, and to recognize the truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you didn't have to spend eternity in hell. Goes on to say, so also through one righteous act, there is justification leading to life for everyone. If you're here today, if you're within the sound of my voice, you have an opportunity to be saved, but you have to choose it. So after hearing this message, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you just made a choice. What choice did you make? Did you choose to go up to the pastor during the invitation time and say, I need Jesus, or did you choose to sit there and reject Him yet again? Some of you older people will get this, but in the words of Geddy Lee, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. So when you choose not, when you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. If you decide, I'm not accepting Christ today, you just rejected Him. And how do I know this? Because Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, anyone who is not with me is against me, and anyone who does not gather with me scatters. Your influence. Are you gathering with Jesus? Are you trying to urge people to come to salvation? Or are you keeping it to yourself because you're afraid of the rejection? Do you choose to serve God in the local church? Or do you choose your comfort over serving the Lord? You have to make the choice. God gives us all the information we need in His Word. The proof is there. We don't have blind faith. We have all the evidence we need to have faith in Jesus Christ. We have all the evidence we need to know that God is the creator of everything that we see. It takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to have faith in God. And yet people will claim to be an atheist. Now, me personally, I don't believe in atheists. That makes them mad. I don't care. Because my God says that all men have the knowledge of the Creator, so they are without excuse. Scripture in the Old Testament tells us that man can look out at the creation and the glory of creation and know there is a God. So guys, there's no doubt in my mind at all. God has opened my eyes, He has opened my ears, He has opened my heart, and He's willing to do the same thing for you, but you have to choose to put your faith in Him. You have to choose to put your faith in Jesus and what He did on the cross of Calvary. I'm so glad you chose to come to church today, even though the weather is bad. A lot of Baptists choose to be afraid that they're going to be recognized as Methodists because they'll go outside and get sprinkled, and they don't want any part of that. So there are people who aren't here today because of the weather. I get that. But guys, every day we have to make a choice. As I taught this class yesterday on being an effective leader, and we talked about character, and we talked about integrity. If I were to go to work and act like everybody else at work, I would never have an opportunity to witness to coworkers. I know of one person who may not be saved if I acted that way. I've got people in my neighborhood who don't go to church even though I've approached them and talked to them and invited them to church. That's okay. That's their choice. But if I never went and talked to a neighbor, how would they know? I choose to be a part of Sunday school. Why? Because I believe that's the most important hour on a Sunday morning. If you're not coming to Sunday school, I hope that you will choose to come and be a part of the Sunday school. We have Vacation Bible School. I hope you choose to come and be a part of Vacation Bible School. When on Sunday night, when our ACT teens meet, I hope that you will choose to come and be a part of the ACT teens. But you could easily choose to stay at home and watch TV, or choose to go out to eat, or choose to do something else. Guys, we made church attendance easy. We don't change the schedule. We don't mix it up and mess it up. We meet at the same times every week. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:15 for Sunday school. We meet in here at 10:30. We meet tonight at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall. We meet Wednesday night at 6:30. We do not change those times on you. If you tell me I don't have time to come to church, then you're way too busy. Or you're just making up an excuse not to come. But if you choose to draw closer to God, you need to choose to be closer to the church. You need to choose to serve God. Because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, and because I have salvation, I choose to serve Him. Because I know that my time on this earth is short, but eternity is forever. So that's one of those choices you make that have long-lasting effects. The consequences for rejecting God in this life is eternal separation from God in a place called hell for eternity. the consequences of accepting Christ's sacrifice on the cross to forgive you of your sins will result in your eternity in heaven with the Creator forever and ever and ever and ever. But you have to choose. So as we go into this time of invitation, I pray that you will choose wisely and that you will choose Christ and you will choose to submit your life to Him if you haven't already done that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that Jesus did come, that He died on the cross of Calvary in my place, and that me putting my faith in Him secures my eternity. And Lord, I pray for those who choose to reject, that you will give them another opportunity, that their hearts would not be hardened against you, that we wouldn't find the great deception amongst people just yet, that you have not given people over to that reprobate mind that is talked about in 1 Romans, Lord, that you would just allow people this opportunity to come to know you. Lord, I pray that your will would be done in all lives. Lord, that people would make choices that would not only benefit them, but benefit the church and benefit your kingdom for eternity. Help us, Lord, during this invitation time to be obedient to you. We pray all of this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen, praise the Lord, and hallelujah. As we stand and as we sing, the altar is open to any and all who will come and pray at it. I'll be available for anybody who would need prayer. If you've decided you want to follow Christ and become a Christian, come up and share it with us today. We'd love to rejoice with you.
Softly and Tenderly, number 312.